My friends, I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. I believe in the Holy Spirit. These are the words that we say almost every time we gather together. In them, we confess our faith in the Holy Trinity. The word Trinity is not found in the Bible. And yet, as the church fathers looked at scripture, like our gospel lesson today, they deduced that God comes to us in three persons: in the Father, the Creator, in God's Son, the Savior, and in the Holy Spirit, our Comforter and our Guide. Yet, like Nicodemus in our gospel lesson today, we talk about the Trinity, but it always kind of puts us in a little bit of a conundrum. And like Nicodemus, we say, how can this be? I want to suggest this morning something a little bit different than you may have heard before, and that's that the Trinity is more like a relationship between the three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are united in the relationship of self-giving love. And then through the Holy Spirit, that Trinity opens that relationship even to us. I went to Synod Assembly this week. What's a synod? Well, I'm so glad you asked. A synod is a group of congregations that work together. They are in relationship. And the word synod actually means walking together. We are part of a synod walking together with other churches in the Lower Peninsula of Michigan. There are 65 geographic synods in the United States, in the ELCA. Ours does not include the Detroit metro area or the UP. And so we have this kind of ridiculously long name, which is the North/West Lower Michigan Synod, which means the Mitten, very simply. The Mitten Synod is just the Lower Peninsula in the ELCA. When Gary Hansen, our former bishop, went to our mission partner in Papua New Guinea, he tried to explain, you know, what our synod looked like. And he said, you know, it's like a mitten. He was in Papua New Guinea. They gave him blank stares. But anyway, this was an especially exciting year at Synod Assembly, because we got to have as our keynote speaker the bishop of the churchwide ELCA, what I call the big bishop, only she is about this tall, Bishop Elizabeth Eaton, that we pray for every week. She spoke several times. She has a good sense of humor and very down to earth. And we found that everyone had a chance to talk to her and ask questions at the question and answer sessions. She came to share the good news of Jesus alive and working in our world through the ELCA. We are proclaiming through the death and resurrection of Jesus that we are free of the burden of sin and death, and that God's final word for us is life and freedom. We share the good news with our neighbors in word and in action. When asked what her biggest dream was, or is, she said, my biggest dream is that everyone would live as if the resurrection really happened. Joyfully. That if we all lived as if the resurrection really happened. This year, $1.7 billion, billion dollars was given by thankful Lutherans to the work, God's work, of the ELCA. 50% of the offerings that we give to our synod-wide church goes on then to the whole church-wide ELCA in order to support new missions, to train pastors, to renew churches, and to do so much more to bring Christ's presence to a hurting world. Bishop Eaton emphasizes that we are church. We are Lutheran, we are church together, and we are church for the sake of the world. Maybe you can tell, maybe you can't tell, but I do get a little geeked about synod assemblies because I find them very inspirational. I just see the Holy Spirit at work at all these congregations throughout Michigan and then, of course, throughout the world. For example, Living Waters Ministries, which is our camping ministry up in New Era, gave over $11,000 in scholarships to 324 kids who otherwise would not have been able to go to camp. That's pretty awesome. Many of them are foster children. ELCA disaster relief is already on the ground before disaster hits. And we are known to be the last ones to leave. I had someone come up to me at the Synod Assembly and say, "Aren't you the church that has that spirituality center?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, I want to take a class this fall." So we are a church much larger than this building on the East Beltline. We are in relationship with churches all over the country and all over the world. And in that sense, we are an extension of the life-giving relationship of the Trinity. How can this be? I'm so glad you asked. To see the Trinity, you need to look at the cross, the center of any Lutheran congregation. Here we see the self-giving, ultimate love of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as one. First, the Son gives himself over to the world. God the Father's heart is broken, and yet he gives his Son also to the world. That favorite passage, John 3:16. The event of the cross reveals the depth of Christ's love and God's self-giving love for us. And the Holy Spirit then invites us into this dynamic, moving, lively relationship of love with the whole world. We are healed and made new to serve our neighbor and to share the good news of our salvation. We are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, whether we are a local church, the synod, or the church-wide expression of the church. And I do want to take a moment just to thank Bill Granger and Deb Granger and Meredith Bricker, who all attended the Synod Assembly last week with Pastor David and I. If you have any questions, you can talk to them. There was something else that happened at the Synod Assembly, something not so big and much more personal. On Monday night, we joined together for evening prayer. Morning prayer was led by the new pastors, and evening prayer was led by the retired pastors. I love evening prayer, as I know many of you do. This was a different setting, the one from the red ELW hymnal, and it is beautiful. Bishop Emeritus Gary Hansen had just presented a gift to Margie Bauer, a woman who has served as the financial administrator for the Synod for 21 years. It was good to see Bishop Emeritus Hansen because his wife has been seriously ill for the past year. Some of you know their daughter, Karina Rhodes, who's a member here. Anyway, it hit me that Bishop Hansen had ordained me 21 years ago. In fact, today is the anniversary of my ordination. So, thank you. This is where I get a little teary-eyed, okay? I looked up during the evening prayer, and I realized that the man that was leading worship had been an old friend of mine before seminary. And our kids had played together. I used to go to aerobics with his wife, and then we'd go out to breakfast and eat pancakes together. But John was the first person I went to when I was looking for spiritual guidance. And I didn't know it then, but I was looking for spiritual direction. And then it seemed like my whole life began to pass before me. The speaker before Bishop Hansen was a dear friend of mine, with whom I went to seminary, and she came with me when I went to court for my divorce after 29 years of marriage. Another good friend was there who had just lost her mother the previous week. She was collecting hugs from all of us. And we had served in Muskegon together. And then I had been able to touch base and catch up a little bit with members of my previous congregations. And I realized how very blessed I have been these past 21 years in ministry. I've had the honor and privilege to serve three congregations and to be part of people's lives as their pastor. And my heart was just about filled to overflowing. I have married and buried people. I've had the privilege to baptize people. And the last baptism that I did, it was a 90-year-old woman. I've had the joy of teaching 20 confirmation classes. Just 1 year, I didn't have one. This is church. It's the relationship that we build with one another over the years, through good times and bad. The church is a community in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the self-giving love that we share with one another. St. Luke's, I'm not sure, it's not the mission statement, but there's another mission, maybe Jan can help me out, mission statement kind of thing. Reflects the work of the Trinity and the church. And it is connecting with God, connecting with others, connecting with the world. That's who we are as a church. I am proud of my church in all three of its expressions, here at St. Luke's, the Northwest Lower Michigan Synod, and the church-wide ELCA. Our purpose is to make the love of God in Jesus Christ known. I'd like to close this Trinity Sunday by showing a video of the ELCA called We Are Lutheran.
When I am out and about the church, I often ask what is distinctly Lutheran about our witness to the gospel. Grace is almost always the answer. Many other Christian and religious traditions also claim that grace is important, if not foundational, to their self-understanding. So what do we, as the Lutheran movement, uniquely say about grace? Grace is the free gift of God. Martin Luther wrote, "Grace does so much that we are accounted completely righteous before God. For grace is not divided or parceled out, but takes us completely into favor for the sake of Christ, our intercessor and mediator." Luther is making the evangelical point about grace, that it is not up to us. Rather, it is God's good pleasure. Grace is not something God does. Rather, grace is who God is. This gracious God is not an abstraction, but is made known in the flesh and blood person, Jesus. Sometimes I think we have the nagging doubt that free doesn't really mean free. Some might disbelieve for joy. How is it possible that it is God's good and gracious will to give this grace? How is it possible that God can love so completely? How can I be so loved? This is a transactional world, after all. I do something for you, so you will do something for me. We either can or must do something to set the transaction in motion. It is contrary to the way of the world that so much life should be given so freely. Or somehow, we need to hedge our bets and supplement God's action. This is not new amongst the people of God. In Exodus, we see that the Israelites find themselves in the wilderness wandering and hungry. Memories of the flesh pots of Egypt had erased the bitter taste of slavery, oppression, and infanticide. So God promised bread to eat, and God promised enough. Inevitably, some gathered more, adding human agency to God's gift. These were the "there's no such thing as a free lunch" Israelites. And some gathered less, unable to believe such complete love. These were the Lutheran Israelites. My hope is that when we in the ELCA speak about grace, we will speak as true evangelicals. That God, out of an abundantly fatherly or parental love, not only created all things, including humankind, good, but God also sent Jesus as the embodiment of that very love to save us from ourselves, enduring the worst that humankind could do against God's embodied mercy, even enduring the rejection, humiliation, and shame of the cross, and raised Jesus as a demonstration and promise of God's forgiving love. Here's a good Lutheran question. What does this mean? It means that we are free. We are free from spiritual bondage, from the law's accusation and judgment, from the necessity of saving ourselves. And we are free for. We are free for love and service to our neighbors. The freedom that comes from God's grace propels us into the public square. Our work in advocacy and disaster relief, ELCA World Hunger, God's Work Our Hands Sunday all flow from the freedom we have in Christ. Luther was pretty clear when he wrote, "A Christian is Lord of all, completely free of everything. A Christian is servant of all, completely attentive to the needs of all." I have a vision of the Lutheran movement spilling out into the streets in joyful service to the world God so loves. Thousands and thousands of us in our yellow God's Work Our Hands t-shirts, engaged in our communities, bringing hope and wholeness. We can be the alternative face of Christianity in today's culture. When the world sees the church only as judging and condemning and excluding, we can show the way of God's love and mercy that are meant for all people, all. Grace means that there is no one group of people who can claim supremacy over others, since we are all equally in need of God's forgiveness and all equally recipients of God's free, generous outpouring of grace. There are Lutherans all over the world. We come in all colors and sizes. A Mighty Fortress is sung in hundreds of languages and styles. I've even heard it on bagpipes. There are more Lutherans of color in the Lutheran World Federation than there are of European descent. So if culture or cuisine don't define us, what does? It is our witness to and confidence in a gracious God who in Jesus loves us to the end. This grace is too big to be contained. It breaks the divisions that we have constructed and unites all of us into one family. So, dear church, set free by God's grace, we are sent into the world. This is only possible because we find our lives in Christ. We gather around word and sacraments, and strengthened again, we are free as church together to be church for the sake of the world.
I'm a Lutheran.
Mi minium Lutheri.
I'm a Lutheran.
Soy un Luterano.
I am a Lutheran.
Num Lutheri.
We are Lutheran.
Come to you, Lutheran.
I am a Lutheran.
I'm a Lutheran.